Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists, to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we're talking on the really timely subject of strategic planning. Specifically, what can you do to keep your strategic plan aligned with your purpose?
And this is especially timely for us because we are working with one of our first strategic planning clients. Yay!
Woohoo! Jazz hands.
And really talking about, you know, before we dive in, thinking about purpose and how we help them keep that constant in their strategic planning. Mm-hmm. So before we get started, I think it would be appropriate. Actually, you know what? You know what, Ben?
Sue?
I think it would be appropriate, probably inappropriate, because nobody needs to know this, but I feel like it's been forever since we have recorded in the studio.
It has been.
And I love microphones. And just being here in the studio.
Yeah. We have nice microphones that go with us or are at home as needed. Mm-hmm. But it is nice to be in our usual setup for sure.
Because I know how darn good it sounds too when it's done.
Yeah.
We do okay. But anyway. Anyway, so now, diversion accomplished. Moving back. I think it would be really appropriate, back to that, for our listeners that are maybe small businesses or thinking of starting a business or are just not credit union people who are familiar with what strategic planning is,
right,
to level set and help our friends out and tell them what strategic planning is.
Yeah.
Ben? Hey, Ben.
Hey, hi.
Hi. What's strategic planning?
I'll do my best.
Okay.
And, you know, I appreciate your mention of, you know, small businesses, people starting a business. But I especially appreciate your mention of credit union folks, really anyone who maybe just hasn't had the opportunity to participate in strategic planning day or session or any aspect of the process to this point. Because there are a lot of people, you know, as much as you'd love to have everyone participate, you just can't. Right. So there are people that maybe have been with an organization for a long time, maybe with an organization that does strategic planning regularly, but either because of role or resources or whatever the reason is, they just haven't been able to participate yet. So I think it is good that we do our best to give a baseline definition for anyone in the audience that maybe hasn't had the chance yet. So I'm going to kind of like piece it together a little bit, if I could put some bullet points behind this.
Please.
I think that strategic planning is where you're setting your long-term goals. Strategic planning is where you're identifying key initiatives to help contribute to those goals. It's an excellent time to be aligning resources, which, you know, people maybe being the most obvious resource to align during a session like that. We're going to talk about alignment a bit more, I'm sure. But also like to have conversations about dollars, time, you know, scope, things like that, that also might make or break whether or not something can get done. So I guess the way I'd like encapsulate all of that is for strategic planning to guide an organization's clear, and I think clear and clarity is very important there, actionable, action also being very important, vision for the future, which, you know, I could also probably throw a couple buzzwords in there and say future for growth or future success, you know, which I think maybe can be implied, you know, and maybe contribute, or the whole topic of like, or the thought, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying kind of thing might be implied. But also I think if I had to like write this out in a formal definition, I think I would intentionally leave words like growth out because it can be kind of subjective. Sometimes depending on what's going on in an organization's life and how long this plan is for, whatever phase you're in, like maybe growth in the traditional sense of the word is actually something you don't need right now, right? Because then you have to answer a bunch of questions that you're not prepared to, like how are we going to fulfill all those orders or staff up to make that possible? You know, all of those questions, right? So sure, growth is probably what every organization wants to see, but that's on a scale for sure, you know?
So, right.
Anyway, a little bit of a diversion there on the definition, but I think I've said enough.
You've done excellently. And I especially like that you pointed out that growth is on that scale. And I think you could also make the argument, at least I will right now, that organizations should think really critically about whether growth is what they're looking for, what their definition of growth is.
Right.
And even if you said, well, you know, we've had that, we've talked about that every year that we sit down to plan, and we always say that we, you know, growth is part of it. So why would we even stop and talk about it? It's worth having that conversation. Why do you want to grow? How can you plan so that it's not just carbon copying the last 15 years plans,
mm-hmm.
and be really intentionable, yes. which is a new word that I made up.
Trademark.
Which be really intentional about what that growth looks like. And if it's not for you, I think there are people who should be having a conversation about stabilization.
Sure.
Which is different than growth.
Right. Yeah.
It is definitely, you create a growth mindset when you are stabilizing, but you do not, you're not looking to increase revenue by 20%, sure. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're looking to, you know, stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And that is, if that is where you find yourself coming into strategic planning, that you have to talk about triage instead of growth, then that's what you should talk about.
Right.
And don't pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody else you know, quote unquote,
yeah,
has yep. a growth plan.
Yeah.
So good. Good Smart. Job.
Cool. You too. So moving along to what kinds of goals and other deliverables should come from strategic planning?
Excellent question. I have seen a lot of different versions of strategic planning output. I think the things that that should be minimum expectation. You've already said goals. There should be specific goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be goals that are related to your organization, which, yes, we are talking about a process that you do for an individual organization, but I think people would be surprised how often you are just copy-pasting goals from someone else.
Sure.
And hearing, you know, best practices, we do this, so that is what we're going to do. And so I think all of this needs to be really intentional. So specific goals, and then the action steps that back those up. You know, when we talk about strategic planning, this is the 10,000-foot view. And those goals are big goals that don't really speak to how the heck you're going to do them.
Right.
So even if you don't come out of strategic planning with every single action step, you should come out of it with a goal that is specific enough that as you break it down into your teams, no matter how large or small they are, you can say, oh, this is how my team can contribute to that goal. Mm-hmm. So this is what our action steps can be.
Yeah.
And also agreement as those action steps are cross-departmental.
Mm-hmm.
God, we sound so smart today.
Right.
Yeah. Other things to have are reliable measurements. So I think I have also seen that, you know, when we come back to this concept of growth, which can be fuzzy, I have seen people come out of strategic planning saying, well, we want to grow this line of business. And, you know, how do we know how do we have a reliable way to measure if that line of business is growing? How do we, you know, you would think that maybe is a really simple measurement, but when you talk, particularly when you talk about businesses that have a pipeline where things are going to be coming, you know, cycling through, and we have to have action steps to get things into the pipeline. We have to make sure we're securing that business, you know,
yep.
that getting a whole bunch of stuff in your pipeline, it means not very much until you've secured the business, right. if that's what you're into.
Yeah. If you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah. So reliable measurements, knowing where you can get them, how you can get them. I've definitely been a part of organizations where they have had lofty goals and then come out of planning not being able to measure their success for those goals because you don't have access to the data you want.
Sure.
So
yeah.
That's a pitfall. You should be able to report that stuff out however much, you know. We're going to talk about a little bit about stakeholders and when I define stakeholders in terms of strategic planning, that is, you know, some of these people that aren't in strategic planning are stakeholders.
Right.
Your customers are stakeholders. Your board, you know, your investors, all of these people are stakeholders in this planning session. So reporting has to be fit to the stakeholders that you that need to see that information. And that might mean that you have multiple different versions of that reporting. So you have something that's, you know, easy to communicate to staff. You have something that's maybe more detailed for board, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So reporting and then plans for communication to stakeholders. And that includes being able to communicate why, you know, the everything about the goals, the what, where, why, when about the goals. Why did we choose this goal? How are we going to achieve that goal? What are our thoughts on what happens once we've achieved that goal? Everything that needs to really get people connected to what the plan is in order to make it successful.
Mm-hmm.
Is communication that should be, you know, you should be thinking about and planning and ready to share out after strategic planning.
Yeah.
What thoughts do you have?
Oh my goodness.
I gave you a whole list.
Yeah. You gave me a whole list, a beautiful list. And it's
not bad.
It's right? Interesting. Yeah. As I'm thinking about all of it, I can't help but think of a very recent experience during strategic planning where, you know, you've got different personalities in the room. You've got people that care about the numbers, people that care about the service, people that care about, I don't know, what's for lunch, you know, all kinds of stuff all over the place, right? And I think no matter what kind of organization you are, who's facilitating, who's helping you develop this plan, you're going to have so many factors like that that can impact what you get out of the day,
mm-hmm.
what you should get out of the day, what you shouldn't get out of the day, all of those kind of things. And I think a lot of what you talked about are like, they're exactly what need to happen, like non-negotiable even, mm-hmm. I would say. That said, I think that there are other things that you should expect or want to get out of a really good and healthy strategic planning, which I think some of them are like just this word alignment. I'm just going to use that as a big umbrella term. I think that you have so much opportunity to like hear from people, hear from stakeholders, hear from the people in the room during these, you know, sessions, you know, whether it's half a day or 3 days a week, whatever, how could you not take advantage of the opportunity to hear all of that, to reflect on it, to regurgitate it, and bring yourselves closer to being on the same page?
Gross.
Yeah, I know. Well, sometimes it's just what's necessary. Another thing that I think should happen, and I think this might be up to your facilitator to help support or encourage or drive, I suppose maybe also like your company's culture. And I'm going to totally steal this from, and I don't have his name right now, but the gentleman who facilitated from On the Mark Strategies, he called it 10% talk. So, and basically the analogy is, you know, when you come to these kind of things, and I suppose in like everyday work life too, everybody's pretty comfortable like giving 90% of their opinion, you know, or saying 90% of what they want to say. But that extra 10% is where it's like, oh man, what are they going to think of this? Or am I going to get in trouble if I say this? Or shouldn't I say this? Like, is it private? Was that a private conversation? You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the barrier is to sharing, like that last little bit more. This is an awesome time to share that 10%, to share the extra stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To be honest. That's what I'm trying to, you know, to be honest, to be transparent, like check your title, your ego, all that crap at the door. Because if we can't be honest, if we can't say the whole truth, if we can't get as close to 100% as possible, then like the organization suffers
mm-hmm.
and your job probably suffers because something's not going to get changed. Something's not going to get planned. Something's not going to happen that you want to happen or you know should happen because you didn't speak up. You didn't say anything.
Right.
And that's on you as much as it is on maybe the facilitator to help pull that stuff out and or the organization to have a culture where that stuff's like welcomed, not only like allowed, but like welcomed. No, we need that extra stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I have two more things. You want me to pause?
What?
I have two more things. You want me to pause? Any immediate reflection?
I don't know if I want you to pause, but because there's something on my mind. Are you moving away from sharing your honest feedback and on to other ideas?
I am, but let me rattle them off. We'll come back to it.
Throw them out.
Brainstorming, dreaming, ideas, mm-hmm. stuff that everyone struggles to make time for in their regular day-to-day, in their regular team meetings, and especially like amongst the group that's probably in the room during strategic planning. Like these are, you know, typically your executive managers, it's your highest level managers or, you know, sorry to say it, but whether you have a really nice, healthy organization with a flat org chart or one that's really stuck on chain of command and all that stuff, like these are the people that have all the decision-making power or the heaviest influence on decisions being made, right? And if that group of people doesn't ever make time to dream a little bit together or to brainstorm or to, you know, bring their own original ideas or, you know, as much as we hate it, bring the ideas of what the 10 other organizations down the road are doing. Like if we never create a space to talk about that stuff, like now is the time to do it for sure. Right. So, and then the last one, just, decisions. I think that every organization that has been part of strategic planning, probably one of the most frustrating parts of it is you get done and before the plan's done, or maybe even after the plan is done, you have a feeling of like, so what did we even decide that we're going to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And most importantly, attached to that, that also tells you what you're not going to do so that for the next year, the next 3 years, 5, 10, whatever, you've got your initiatives, you've got your goals, and that other distraction that comes up only comes into the mix with a super intentional decision, which probably means dropping something that you decided was a goal or an initiative, right? So I'm not saying like the plan is chiseled in stone and shall forever be untouched, you know, but it really does empower you to say like, nope, not doing that. We decided on these other three things, you know?
Yeah. So.
Okay, now I'm done.
Yeah, no, but it still works here because I think the one thing, you know, speaking of things not to bring into it, as we're building a strategic planning session that includes brainstorming and that additional 10% of your opinions and all of those things, it's not a place to bring beef.
Sure.
Do not
beef and baggage.
Yeah. I think probably everyone who has been through various different organizations, strategic planning, has unfortunately experienced that time that person came in with beef. And it's about staying on track, on message, on task. And it drags the process down if someone has that, you know, is hanging on to something like a dog with a bone and wants to constantly come back. Because that's what they sound like. And always bringing back to, well, I wanted to do this. Nobody would do that thing. Or, you know, I still think it's that, especially when the rest of the group has moved past it.
Yeah.
So don't bring your beef.
Yeah.
Deal. And if you know you have beef going into strategic planning, you know when it's scheduled. Get rid of it. Like do something about it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, P.S. Don't carry beef.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very heavy.
Deal with it, especially if it's like a whole quarter cow.
Right. I know.
But if you have issues like that, like deal with them ahead of time. Or know that after strategic planning is the best time to deal with them. Mm-hmm. Don't bring them in and money up the process.
Yeah. 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 No, I love that. And hopefully you've been a contributor during planning where, you know, you're bringing solutions and ideas to that beef so that for everyone's sake, like when it's all done, you can just move forward and it's in the past, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there is something about that open discussion, especially because part of that discussion should be what's not working. You know, what's bothering us, what's keeping us awake at night.
Yeah.
We do want to make that a really good open forum
Right.
But it can be a time where that somebody can get triggered, and
yeah.
even if they don't mean to, even if they don't realize they're carrying beef.
Right. Yeah.
Can get into a place,
mm-hmm.
a dark place.
Yeah. Might be tough to tell the difference, but there is a difference between beef and, you know, a real opportunity for improvement.
Right.
You know, that's backed with, you know, data or, you know, whatever it is. And it's not,
right.
and even, I want to be really careful about what I'm saying here too, because even though you might not have data to support it, but it's something real that you're feeling and you're experiencing every day, you know, that might be something to bring up. I don't know if that is necessarily beef. I think we could probably spend a whole episode on like problem identification and, you know, what's beef and what's like a real issue that you need to figure out.
Right.
But you know, if you can look in the mirror and know that it's not just this arbitrary anecdotal thing that you experience or you're stuck on because of your emotions or
right.
a lingering poor relationship, or, you know, whatever the case might be, the reason for the beef,
mm-hmm.
then like you should bring it, you know?
Yeah.
And my guess is, and again, this all probably really depends on organizational culture, facilitation strength, and all of these kind of things. If you thought you were bringing a real problem to fix, but what you really brought was beef, you're going to learn real quick in that session that you probably brought some beef and you
right,
need to like
right. yeah.
shut it. But
yeah.
anyway.
Well, you know, and we can put a bow on that by reminding ourselves and everyone listening that definition of what is a real problem. A real problem yeah. is something that affects the success of the whole team.
Right.
So if you just can't, like, if somebody ate your yogurt 6 years ago, that does not affect the success of the whole team.
Your example makes me hungry and hurts my feelings because that's happened and I'm so sad about it still.
You know
so
what?
So that's beef I'm carrying.
Actually,
I need to let it go.
Straight up, I use that example because somebody did eat my yogurt. And
shame
I was
on them.
Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Because it was like a special flavor that was on sale.
Mm.
But
the worst.
It's fine. I'll be okay.
All right.
I'll be fine. Okay. So I think that we have set the table, even though it's a lot, we have a lot of big thoughts
yeah.
around strategic planning. I think we've set the table and tried to paint a picture of a process that seems pretty logic based. We want to talk about data. We want to talk about having things organized. So right. how do we marry that logic based planning with purpose yeah. is the question.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it, some of the things that I just mentioned about like alignment, brainstorming, dreaming, some of that kind of stuff. I think that that's part of it. Purpose can feel like the squishy thing that goes mm-hmm. alongside the logical, measurable thing. You know what I mean? So some of those kind of activities and maybe like strategies during planning to make sure that we're getting to the heart of the matter, the why sort of mm-hmm. thing, I think is really important. I do think that a big part of this is facilitation. I think making sure that you're whoever's helping you with your plan has the exercises, the tools, the awareness, whatever it might be to have purpose at the core of what you're doing
right.
and how you're planning, you know? So a couple of examples. I mean, one maybe the most logical and easiest one is mission, vision, and values, you know, like identifying mm-hmm. those things, revisiting them, rejuvenating them, rewriting them, you know, whatever phase you might be in, like those things have to be part of the conversation. And if you like just recently did them or, you know that they're healthy and strong or whatever, like show them to people, like make mm-hmm. darn sure that everyone knows, like, this is what we said the mission is. Here's what we're shooting to do. And here's the values that guide us along the way, you know? So that's gotta be part of it. And
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm yeah. so sorry. Before you move on, this is a question I've been saving, but let's talk about facilitation versus non-facilitated. I don't think I've ever seen anyone, I guess what really the question is, outside facilitator
yeah.
versus whoever just normally leads a meeting,
sure.
walking people through
right.
a, you know, series of exercises. What would you recommend? What's your official endorsement here?
I would for sure, I mean, in this, you know, obviously sounds a little biased knowing that we're willing to help people with this stuff and, you know, have one coming in a couple of weeks, but, or a week now. But I would always advocate for outside facilitation, just removing bias, removing mm-hmm. beef and baggage, you know, removing, right. yeah, all of that stuff that can get in the way or hold you back for sure. That said, like, not everybody has the resources, not everybody has the budget to pay for that. Not everybody has the connection to someone that might do it free or discounted. Mm-hmm. And maybe the flip side, it isn't always something that you're lacking. Maybe you have like a killer person inside the organization that has everything they need to facilitate, you know, so that might be a reason to do it in-house, but, or, you know, to have somebody on the team mm-hmm. do it. I do think that what you said is exactly like part of the advice I would give someone who, for whatever reason, can't hire a facilitator, somebody outside the organization. If your solution is the person that's typically at the front of the room, or the person that, real or not, perceived or not, has the power in the organization, they shouldn't be the one doing it. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. so many people that are participating are just going to be influenced by like, is this person happy or not? You know, are they right. happy with my answer? Are they?
That's yeah. a good point.
So,
yeah. And even I would say, if I had to give advice to someone who had to have an internal person do it, mm-hmm. it would be challenge that person to really set themselves aside.
Yeah.
And really come in as if you are completely unbiased.
Yeah.
Because I do think part of the power of having an outside facilitator is that you really bring someone in that does not have previous biases, does not have previous ideas, doesn't yeah. have beef.
Right.
You know, and, you know, positive, there's positive and negative things like information that you have as a member of the group that
right.
can lead
yeah.
that strategic planning in a way that maybe you end up anyway, but, you know, really keeping your own opinions out of it if you're the facilitator creates an organic and well-contributed to strategic plan.
Yeah. Yep. The word that's sticking in my mind as you're talking is curiosity. I think that that's mm-hmm. like what's at risk without having an outside resource to it. You lose the genuine curiosity along the way to, you know, every facilitator from the outside is going to come in with their planned activities. You know, they've done this before, or been through it enough that they, you know, have some things in mind that they want to do or get done. And they, if they're, I don't know, a good facilitator, not just going through the motions, like they're going to bring a genuine curiosity along the way too. Mm-hmm. So even though this activity that they had planned was intended to go one way and it went another, or this idea came up as part of the conversation, like they're going to ask like, oh, I hadn't heard that. I've never heard that before. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this is something I haven't typically seen. Like, let's dive into that a little bit more. And I think with someone on the inside, you don't have that moment. Mm-hmm. Generally, I do think it's very possible for the right person inside the organization to, you know, that can set themselves aside and, you know, set biases aside and things like that. To still be curious enough where you get what you need mm-hmm. out of that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing, back to how you keep your purpose in mind. And actually I'll use a good example that's related to the topic we were just talking about. We had a board member facilitate our strategic planning 2-3 years ago now, who, was very new to the board. And we kind of got like a two birds, one stone sort of thing with having him do it, in that it was his opportunity to ask the curious questions because mm-hmm. he wanted to know, he needed to know as a board member about who we are, what we've been up to, what we're trying to do and all of that. By doing all of that, we got our strategic plan facilitated, and we also kind of like did a deep onboarding with a board member, right? Because mm-hmm. he was able to ask all these great questions of leadership and the rest of the board and all of that. But one activity that he did was this question, why do we deserve to exist? And I think that I don't know if like the answer to that question is going to be your purpose, your organization's purpose, but I think it does get you thinking about like, what would the world be like if we weren't here, this organization, you know, or what would our community be like? What would, you know, what would our members, our customers, our clients, our communities be missing out on if we didn't exist? You know, those are maybe other ways to ask that question to get to the answer of why do we deserve to exist? So I think that's a good one too. And you're, at the very least, you'll be kind of like on the edge of discovering your purpose, or you'll be talking about your organizational purpose to be able to answer that question. So that's a good one too, that I think is just a little bit different than the what can feel traditional and kind of cliche mission, vision, value stuff, you know.
I think maybe it is the change from October into November and thinking about the holidays that makes me think, like, when you talk about what would be different if your organization doesn't exist, is to, wouldn't it be interesting to explore that like the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
Right?
To really go down that track of like, here are the things, here are the key connections that, and how that could likely affect someone.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if we can get an angel, what was the angel's name? Clarence? We can get an angel named Clarence to help us with our strategic planning from this point on. And remind us what it'd be like if it didn't exist.
It makes me think of the Office episode where Dwight gets like temporarily fired or temporarily quits, you know, and then like the waters or the plants stop getting watered and things like that. You know, it's like, you know,
these are basically the same narrative.
Exactly.
Okay. So we're still talking about purpose. And I think I'm going to just, since I made notes for this thing that you're supposed to be
answering. So many great notes.
I think something that is on my mind, particularly thinking, and I don't know if this client listens to this podcast, but I'll say it out loud anyway, because I don't think it would hurt his feelings to hear it. A thing that is very much on my mind thinking, because I don't know his board and I don't know what their particular attitudes are. Yet, but we did a survey.
Is not knowing
if they are aligned on purpose and how much work really needs. I know what he feels, right, as the president of this this business, but I don't know what his board feels. And I think it is, as I've been thinking about planning for this session, I think it's just so key that you do not have to spend strategic planning fighting about why you're there. You know, I think if you should, I think the ideal situation is going into strategic planning already knowing why you're there, and then maybe refining it and finding good definition around it and being able to agree on, oh, well, that is an example of showing, you know, that we know why we're here, instead of, you know, you pointed out having all of these voices saying, well, we're here to make money, or we're here to, you know, benefit the community, or we're here because, I don't know, because I would rather put my kids in daycare. We're here because, that I think is key, thinking about aligning yourself on purpose. And if you go into strategic planning having done none of that work, then I think you have to invest whatever, I don't want to say whatever time it takes, because that's very scary to think that it would end up sucking up a whole bunch of time. But I think you need to invest a good amount of time getting there.
Well, and to expect perfection after a planning session or out of a plan is probably unrealistic.
Right.
As close to that as we can get is great, you know. And I do think you can get to a plan, even if there's not like a shared understanding or an agreement on like the business purpose, why you're here, or why you deserve to exist, however you want to ask it, right? There's a plan. There can be a plan. Is it the best version of a plan that you can create? Like, probably not. Like, if something as significant at that, like the core of the heart of why you do what mm-hmm. you do, you know, something's going to suffer. You could still get a lot done. You could still experience growth, make great things happen, grow people, grow communities, all of those things that good, healthy organizations are trying to do. You can still see success, no doubt.
Right.
But you're limiting yourself if you're yeah. not, you know, getting yourselves on the same page. Because, man, people are different. And if people are driving the answer to these questions and are driving this plan and, you know, contributing to how all of it comes together, like, automatically there's a ton of imperfection baked into mm-hmm. that whole thing. So, because there's people right. around the table. So, but also that is what makes it kind of beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose there is a version of this if you are, you know, and we worked several years ago, we worked with a client where we did just a small amount of strategic planning with mm-hmm. them.
Yep.
And they were badly misaligned.
Yeah.
And we got them, like, I think my recollection is about the only thing we accomplished.
Yeah.
At however many weeks we worked back and forth with them was getting them aligned
yeah.
on yeah. the purpose. And what is so interesting about that is that it happened to be a nonprofit, which the fact that they were not aligned on their purpose is a mystery to me. Yeah.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
also in nonprofits with limited resources, sometimes no leadership, not to mention little.
Right.
Like right. It's also, you can kind of imagine how misalignment might happen.
Yeah.
If a board member steps in to run the place because there's no paid leadership or assigned leadership in place, then it's one person's ideas yeah. and ideals you move forward.
Right.
If there's one other human involved, that means there's misalignment. So I don't mean to discount what you're saying. I mean, I generally, yes, I 100% agree with you. Like a nonprofit especially should, gosh, if they can't understand one thing together, they should at least understand
why they're there.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I have any regrets about doing
that. No. I think that's a great example of the kind of the squishier side of deliverables, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we didn't get to specific goals. We didn't get to, you know, an action plan for them or anything, but we created that 10% space. We mm-hmm. created the opportunity for them to get on the same page. And that is huge progress for a company that doesn't have either of those things.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, I had another thought and I lost it. What you say things.
And I just keep talking too much.
I'll come up with it. Could you say some words?
Well, one thing I'm going to steal a note of yours. Please. That where you mentioned using your purpose as a touchstone to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So back to, again, maybe one of the, I don't know if it's necessarily a squishy thing about like something that you should get out of strategic planning, but I think there's just so little value given to deciding not to do something, because we're mm-hmm. always worried about what we're doing, when we're doing it, all of that. And it's freeing to know that you can say no to stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the only way that you can say no to stuff is by knowing what you're going to say yes to or mm-hmm. what you've already said yes to. You know, and I mean, gosh, and this is coming from someone who has a really, really difficult time saying no and is constantly like, yes, 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 let's do more. So, I mean, you know, I'm saying all of this knowing full well that I'm not the best at it. And I'm sure that the fact that I'm not the best at it affects our whole organization. People are stretched and things like that. But
yeah. But
it's also like we don't ever say no.
I think so many of us spend so much of our time though in that reactive state of mind. And that is the power of strategic planning to get you out of the reactive state of mind and get you in a proactive state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't adhere to what you've agreed to in strategic planning and you get back, you know, you step out. And I think that's a pitfall. I think that is a thing that happens and you're just human. And some of what anyone does has to be reactive.
Yeah.
But you know, certainly it's a pitfall to walk out of there and start reacting in ways that are not aligned with strategic planning, mm-hmm. and reacting in ways that are not aligned, certainly with purpose, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, you're not great at saying no. I am not great at saying no. Sometimes just for fun, I won't say no and I'll make you do it. And then you're like, but I'm not good at it either. And then nobody says no. And we do it anyway. But just really, you mentioned the word clarity at the top of the conversation. And I think that that is the power of yes and no.
Yeah.
Is gaining that clarity. Mm. Yeah. And my other note here is build your purpose into your goals. So understand it well enough that, that you can deliberately say, because this is what our purpose is, this is our goal for this year.
Right. Yeah.
And listen, you don't have to repeat it every single darn time that you talk about the goal.
Yeah.
But I think there would be some power in creating goals that are really that specifically written out, mm-hmm. so that you can realign with them every time you look at the goal and figure out what your next steps are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw out, this has no place anywhere in any of this conversation, but every time I think of strategic planning, well, this relates back to purpose. This relates back to stakeholders and communication. And, as we talk about purpose, one of the purposes of strategic planning should be planning for good communication out of that, and helping people understand why you got to where you got to and what you're going to do about it. And I have this, speaking of beef, I have experienced in organizations where people go through, the management goes through strategic planning, come out with a communication plan, and then someone in that team goes absolutely rogue with passing that information on to stakeholders, so to the rest of the team. And specifically, the thing that I've seen happen is they misrepresent the purpose in order to push an agenda. Mm. So basically, the subtext is, I want us to get this done. So I'm going to tell you it is related to purpose. It is related to strategic plan. This is why we have to do this. And as long as I'm talking about pitfalls, and as long as I won't shut up, that's just the thing on my mind to be watching for. So genuinely come to agreement on things. Genuinely understand what that communication to stakeholders should be, and then have your group be impeccable with each other, right? Mm. So if you see someone doing that, and what happened in that situation was, I don't know why nobody ever said anything, but probably for the myriad of reasons we don't in those situations. Well, I don't want to start a fight. Well, I don't, if that's her interpretation of it, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, all of those things. But you owe it to yourself when you put yourself in a group of people, no matter how large or small that group of people is planning, to hold each other accountable to everything you agree on, whether that is your purpose, whether that is your goals, all of those things.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I'm yelling at you about it, but honestly, that's something I've never let go.
You do your best work when you're yelling at me. So it's all good.
I like to believe that,
So shall we talk about some final advice here?
I think so. I think we have said many words
on all of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, just one of the most important things that we just mentioned, just talking about purpose and stuff, or maybe two words that were repeated. You said you appreciated one of them, so I'm just going to lean into it. Clarity, mm-hmm. and alignment. I think that those two things, if you get those two things out of your planning process, I don't know how much more you can ask for.
Right.
You know, and also, you know, I guess as much as I say all of that, you know, a little bit of grace for yourself, for your facilitator, for your organization, that like we're still humans involved in mm-hmm. all this stuff. And it's, you know, can we expect everything to be 100% crystal clear? That perfect diamond? No. But gosh darn it, we got to try.
You know, right.
Yeah. And understanding that humans are involved and that things are going to be less than perfect isn't a reason to slack.
Right.
Or to not expect clarity and all yeah. these things, you know? So I think that there's a very human and respectful way to get to clarity and alignment while knowing that things aren't going to be perfect, you know? But yeah. Gosh, if we ever get feedback on a session that we facilitate or a plan that we help develop that mentions like things are clear, I know what I'm supposed to be working on, or I feel like finally our leadership is aligned and our oars are moving in the same, rowing the boat in the same direction, like, I don't know if I could take a better compliment.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can do an awful lot if you are all aligned mm-hmm. and have clarity around what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you can accomplish a lot without us.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, and that's, I mean, really, that's where the magic happens. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
to be able to accomplish those things without us there.
And there's a lot of people that are super self-motivated and, you know, even like, you know, they got the lone wolf mentality. They like working for themselves under their own goals and all of that kind of thing. And 10 people in an organization working that way can get a lot done too, but I guarantee it, if they're working together, they're aligned.
Right.
You'll do so much more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the thing I would add to that is transparency and communication.
Yeah.
You will not see the benefit of a good, great strategic planning session if you do not then communicate to the rest of your team what you did, why you did it, what you're going to do about it, and how they're involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is not any more powerful way to get buy-in than to be transparent
mm-hmm.
with people and really genuinely talk about anything that it takes to lay the groundwork for why you came to a decision or,
yeah,
you know, or how it will benefit people.
Yeah. So we've got transparency, alignment, clarity, and communication. TAC is the acronym. That sounds a little tacky. We can't use that. It's literally tacky. So, but there's something we should do with that. Anyway.
Did you write it down?
Nope.
Okay. Good. I'm glad. I'm going to write it down now. Transparency, alignment. It's all mixed up now in my head.
Clarity and communication.
Clarity. Okay.
We'll make something magical out of that.
We'll
don't
do
worry.
Something about that. Okay. So we are coming to that magical time of this episode where we talk about what's next. What's yeah. next? We talk so much about strategic planning because it is so much on our minds
right.
that it is tempting to have forgotten that we were actually talking about purpose
yeah.
and related to this book that we are working on, quote yeah. unquote, working on.
Yeah.
So well, what's next, Ben?
Yeah, well, the root of the topic is organizational purpose is something that we knew we needed to explore a little bit more and how to get to it. And strategic planning is one of those great moments and great things that organizations do to help get you there. So if you hadn't made that connection yet, that's why we're talking about strategic planning today. But what's next is, you know, we've committed to this once a month check-in on this process, both for us to check in with each other and talk about things that we need to dive into to help us write and to share the journey with people. And we've got one more of those left, which...
How is that possible?
Well, 2024, man, it blew.
Yeah.
But we've got 2 months of it left, so don't worry. It's all good. So we'll use that last episode to kind of recap and lay maybe a little bit more clear path for what's next, because spoiler alert, the book won't be written by our next episode. But we'll use that last episode to wrap things up for at least for this year and talk about what's next. And that is something that we already know is next, is this isn't the end of our journey talking about the book, because we do need to finish it up. And these moments have been really helpful for us to dive deeper and, like I said, share the journey with our listeners. So we'll do those episodes next year kind of ad hoc as needed, as mm-hmm. we need to dive into a topic or we feel like we're at a shareable milestone, because something that we've envisioned has been kind of a library or catalog of these episodes related to purpose and the book writing project and all that stuff, so that readers of the book or people interested in purpose as a general topic or book writing have got one place to go to get mm-hmm. all those episodes. So we'll make sure that we keep the conversation going until we are done, at least done for now.
Right.
So yeah. More to come.
More to come. And we are very excited that you have been with us on this journey. It's a little bittersweet knowing that we are down to the penultimate episode for this year on that. But you can always learn more about us. You can learn about the book project. You can learn all kinds of things if you check out our website and journey on over to our blog, exclamationcuso.com/blog.
We'll see you there. Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome. See you next time.
The Awesomeology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.